Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, sex talkers, are you trying to get boners and not getting it up?
We got the solution for you.
It's called BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com is a website you can go to. You meet with their online physicians for free. Then they'll prescribe you the same medications found in Viagra and Cialis, except it comes in their chewable forms.
Which can work faster.
And then they'll ship you in discreet packages. It doesn't say, like, boners on the box.
Okay,
no one knows what's inside.
Oh my God.
And then you just have a wonderful day.
Can you imagine? You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, which is really annoying.
So we have a phenomenal deal for you. You go to BlueChew.com. You get your first order for free when you use promo code MOM. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Use promo code MOM.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
How do you feel about talking about sex with my mother?
I'm all right with it. I mean, I don't know how detailed we're getting.
We're
but
getting
I mean,
detailed. We're
oh,
going
really?
Deep. We're going
okay.
deep.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable to talk about sex, but sometimes it's important to get uncomfortable. Sex Talk with My Mom is the best mom-son podcast about sex.
It's the only one as well.
My mother is a cougar.
My son is a clown.
In a nutshell, my dad died, so my mother decided to create a YouTube channel all about sex, like all mothers do.
And then my son decides to use my material in his stand-up comedy routines.
And thus, Sex Talk with My Mom was born. Welcome to Sex Talk with My Mom. I'm Cam Poder.
And I'm Karen Lee Poder.
We're chatting about sex twice a week. On Mondays, it's with our listeners answering questions. On Thursdays, it's with a special guest. Today's a Thursday. We have a very special, hilarious guest on the show. Sam Morrell.
He's been on Conan several times.
He's been on Adam Devine's House Party, Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Comedy Central's Comics to Watch.
And he has his own special.
America's Got Talent, Last Comic Standing, At Midnight. Amy Schumer produced his newest special.
There's just too many accolades. And
the guy's
all
fucking hilarious.
And you know what it is? He's nice.
He's a sweet, sweet boy. I could have been best friends with this guy.
I think you are going to be best friends with this boy.
I would love to be best friends. I think he's a touring comic. I imagine he's got a busy lifestyle.
But he'll find time for you, Cam.
Thank you.
When people come on, if they're female, I like to fix them up with you. And if they're male, I like to fix them up with you.
Yeah.
This guy is definitely very similar. You know, he's Jewish. He's been on America's Got Talent. You've been on America's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah. We talk about that in this episode. I actually call him out for making fun of mimes.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
He's talked about a lot of the women that he's been with over the years. And
we talk about the kinkiest thing he's done with sex. We talk about any drug and sex injuries.
But it sounds like he's off the market now. He talked about his current girlfriend, who's also a comedian.
And it's a fun one.
It's a fun one.
Let's just leave it at that, huh? It's a fun episode.
It's a fun
You're not
going
to want to miss out on this.
This is probably one of the funniest comics we've interviewed. And we've interviewed a lot of funny comics. So
if you enjoy stand-up comedy, make sure to check out his newest stand-up special called I Got This. You can check all this out at Sam Morrell, MORRIL.com.
I watched that stand-up special twice.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, so check it out, guys. It's our pleasure to have such a funny guy on our show and such a nice guy on our show.
Thank you for listening. We
in
love
Yiddish,
you very much.
We call this a gut neshima.
A gut neshima. All right, thank you for listening.
Wait.
Sing
aren't
they going
to sing?
Yeah.
And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and very funny comics like Sammy. I don't know if he calls himself Sammy.
You just nicknamed him Sammy?
I called him Sammy.
It actually works. Enjoy. Sam Morrell, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having Woo-hoo! Me.
Very excited to have you here.
Totally excited.
You're on a whirlwind tour right now, and it means a lot that you came by.
Yeah. And I like that you're going from here to Conan. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm not, like, I ran the set last night. I did, like, a new hour at the Comedy Store, and I was like, can I just run this Conan set at the end? And I don't, it's not long enough. It's like 3 minutes and 45 seconds. So it's so weird. I get the weirdest notes from from the Conan Booker, because that's the late night show that's had me the most. And it's on TBS, so I can be a little more vulgar. So I've got notes like, love this abortion joke. Can't do it on the show.
Oh, shit.
I got one note once where he said, you can't wish cancer on our national audience. And I was like, all right. But like, he's like, it's a good joke, but you just, I was like, all right, fair enough. I had one now where I say, I had to cut it because, so I say, it's actually in my special where I say, you know, I'm like, I feel like a lot of women are like, you're a comic, you'll be fun. And I'm like, I'm fun, but I have other stuff. You know, I'm like the Dominican Republic. You know, I'm great for like 5 days. And then you're like, ooh, this has some problems.
I love that.
I was not
line.
Aware of. And then the tag is, I'm not Haiti, but I'm right there. And he was like, Conan does so much work with Haiti. And I was like, all right, I don't know.
Can't do that.
We're done. We've got nothing
I'm
left.
I'm running on empty here. Yeah. And I'm also like, I usually... It's funny. I used to listen to, I think I heard Jerry Seinfeld on Fresh Air say, like, anytime I did a late night set, I'd run every day. I trained for like an athlete. And I'm just like, dude, I'm on like a podcast every day. I don't have time to like, I can't run.
No training going on over here.
I guess this could be training. Yeah. Are you able to use anything like that comes up? And do you, because you have a podcast.
Yeah. It's called Pod Don't Lie. It's only, we only talk basketball.
Okay. So you can't even use any of that
Cam,
stuff
you can't today. Be on that for sure.
Not really. I did a basketball. I've done a couple basketball jokes on Conan, but I only do those if they're super broad.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah. So I've never been into basketball, and yeah. I grew up in Chicago during the Chicago Dynasty.
Yeah.
We would go to the games.
I hated you guys so much.
Oh, really?
I'm a Knicks fan.
Of course.
So you guys, oh,
yeah.
You guys
Patrick
crushed
Ewing.
Me. He was my guy. I loved yeah. him. I mean, but no one could beat Jordan.
Nope.
Nothing. No, so at the time, I was like, I was a little kid. I was falling asleep in games. And now I just read 11 Rings by yeah. Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
The Zen Master.
Now I'm obsessed with basketball, obsessed with the Bulls during that time. I'm like, what did I miss?
You know what's funny? It
this?
All comes full circle because Phil Jackson played for the Knicks, Action Jackson in the 70s. And then he came back to the Knicks as the GM. And we were like, all right. And it all comes full circle. And then he just ruined us for like 5 years. He signed all these horrible people. And I was like, dude.
I don't want to hear about this. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, I meant like, because I get it from my boyfriend. The same thing.
Oh, okay.
Thing. He blames it on him. He said the Knicks had a manager that was like mentally ill or something. I don't even know if... He just said he got us Eddie Curry or something like that.
Eddie Curry. All
yeah,
right.
See?
Well, I'll send you guys this article on Eddie Curry. That's
right.
Pretty amazing after this.
That's why I don't want yeah. it. All right. You can have him on your podcast.
All right.
So we start our show typically by asking, how do you feel about talking about sex with my mother?
I'm all right with it. I mean, I don't know how detailed we're getting.
We're
but
getting
I mean,
detailed. We're
oh,
going
really?
Deep. We're going
okay.
deep.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
I mean, you're way too comfortable with it. You should be the one that's uncomfortable. I don't care.
Oh, it will get there.
It'll get there. You'll be
it's
uncomfortable.
It's been 4.5 years. So at this point, it's yeah. you know, we started with some boundaries, and now it's just been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed.
Nothing.
No, there are still some. She doesn't share too much about her actual sex life.
No.
Okay.
I kind of keep that one on the down low.
Yeah, and mine is not very robust, so
okay.
that's why we have to bring
well,
it on the show.
We talk about stuff that happened in the past, for sure.
Yeah, we do. How is your sex life going?
It's good. I'm in a relationship, and I'm happy, so that's good.
You're monogamous?
Yeah.
So you're in a long-distance relationship?
I am. She lives here. I live in New York, but we're both comics, so we go back and forth, and I've been here for a while. We'll do the back and forth thing. We're both on the road like every weekend anyway, so then we'll just fly back to that city and try to.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Be in that
that's
city
how you
for
make
a bit.
It work.
Yeah, and we're monogamous. I think she kind of she's so good. She's only been in relationships for every sexual partner she's ever had. And I was a road comic for many years, so that was not
say
the case
no more.
With me, you know. But she, I think she kind of she jokes about how she like picked me because she thought she was bouncing back from an engagement that failed, and she was like, "This guy seems sleazy. I like him. he's like a good I'll have sex with and then
like yeah, transitional guy."
And then I was like, "No, I like you." And then
you probably like her because of that.
Maybe, yeah, because she didn't seem like she really, but then, you know, she...
You're never going to know where a relationship goes. My boyfriend and I were the same thing. We met, we thought, oh, this is just like a fun, flirty thing. It's not going anywhere. I was in Chicago, he was in New York, and next thing you know, we're living together.
Yeah, I mean, that's, she's such a cool girl, so that's kind of what brought me in. So, yeah, I she brought up, because she sensed some vibe about me where she's like, She didn't mean it, but she was like, well, maybe we could try open. And I was just like, I don't want to do that.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's like, she said, well, I don't want to do that either. I thought that's what you would want. And I was like, all right.
It's always good to bring it up.
She brought it up and I was like, no, why would I? We're both the right types of jealous. I'm just jealous. If I saw her phone vibrate every time, I'd be like, who the fuck was it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm glad that she's not into that. And also, by the way, the girl in that scenario always just dominates the guy.
Yeah. A lot more.
For our earlier comparison, the girl is the Jordan era Bulls and yes. I'm the 90s Knicks. I'll put up a fight, but I'm going to get crushed. So
use that on Conan.
Should I?
Yeah.
You know which one good. I was thinking? I have a lot of Jew jokes I was doing. So I thought about this. Have you seen the Ivan the Terrible doc?
Mm-mm.
It's on Netflix. It's called The Devil Next Door, about the guy during the Holocaust. He just put the death. He was like first off, you're
this
a piece
funny
of
to you?
Well, I think it's funny that you're a Nazi and they have to call you the terrible. Like, you're still that shitty.
That's real bad.
So here's the thing that I thought could be a joke is that, okay, he was living in Cleveland as an old man. He had a family, right? So it's and so that people were like, it can't be him. This guy's never even gotten a parking ticket. And I'm like, yeah, that's the dude who's a war criminal. If you commit atrocities in the Holocaust, you know, that's what you're probably very careful at every intersection. You know what I mean? Like, I used to be scared of reckless drivers. Now I see someone going 5 below and I'm like, you Nazi pig. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Like right.
I think this
maybe
actually,
I'll try that.
There's an element of truth to that. They're going to keep down low. They're not going to go. They're not going to come up and.
There's a new Amazon show with Al Pacino where they're like all Nazi hunters. And I was like, hell yeah, I love Nazi hunting shows because I hate Nazis. And it looks
like other people don't.
Well, there's some people who don't.
Yeah, there's some pro-Nazis, mom.
Well, they can go kiss my ass.
I like it. That's a sex talk if we get out of her.
Sex
Nazis
talk of my
can
mom.
Kiss her ass.
They could. I'm going to get merch is now going to be Nazis can kiss my ass.
That's a good shirt.
I like
it.
It's
pretty good.
Let's do it.
It's right. Relatable.
We have a game.
Okay.
Wait, can I ask one question before we get to the game?
Oh, now what?
Wait, no, it's not crazy. So, it's not crazy. So you've been on Conan several times.
Mm-hmm.
Are you comfortable at this point? Or
yeah.
Like, you're like... easy. This is another show.
Yeah, I'm
do you have to take a shit before? Because that's what happens to Cam and I.
Oh.
Not me, but Cam.
I'm shitting nonstop before going on stage.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think I'm pretty cool.
What
I'm
are your poops
cool.
going to look like leading up to Conan?
Yeah, I think they're pretty healthy. You know?
No, thank God.
My girlfriend's like lactose intolerant and vegetarian, so I eat differently out here. Like in the city, I eat. So sometimes you take like a moment to adapt, and then I'm just like, I'm not... If the food is good, I can eat anything. I like food, but if she makes good food, that's just healthy. So I can do it.
That's great.
And then, yeah, so I feel like it like the first few days, I'm like, what is this? And then like the next few days, I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice.
Oh,
so,
totally.
We hear you.
Conan, I feel like the first time I was nervous. And then after that, you're just kind of like, no one watches these anymore. Like this isn't Carson in the 80s.
No. We do. It's just on YouTube.
No, I know, but it's not like, If I flub one line, it's not the end of my career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't like the idea. The one thing I don't like about those sets is, you know, it's one take. When I film a special, I do two shows. So if I don't deliver a joke the way I like it, I can edit that one in.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yes.
Okay. So I did want to say one thing. I found a little commonality between you and Cam.
Okay.
Apparently, you both have been on the stage of America's Got Talent.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. How was that experience for you?
Terrible. It was a terrible experience.
Cam, how was it for you?
Yeah, similarly. I mean, it was fun in the 3 minutes that you're on stage, I'd say. But
sure.
Other than that, brutal.
I mean, I remember they get there. They have you get there at like 10 a.m. And by the way, there was construction in the hotel they put me in, so I can't sleep. They're like, you got to get there at 10 a.m. I go on stage at midnight for round two. And I'm like... I'm on the phone panicking to my mom. I'm like, this is insane. Like my anxiety. And my mom will just say things like, read a book. And I'm like, there's two people dancing Mambo Number 5 next to me. You think I can just read a book? You know, I also did Last Comic Standing, and the comics are unbearable in that scenario too, because their anxiety is boundaryless. They can't just turn it off.
Oh, although, literally experiencing anxiety just you describing the scenario.
but I'm saying with America's Got Talent, these people are like all walks of life anxiety. So there's like a guy with a parrot like anxious next to you. It's not like, it's not just comics. It's everything.
Yeah,
so you're
yeah.
just like, it's so overwhelming. Isn't
totally.
It?
Yeah, but Cam was spitting.
I was doing some physical comedy shit.
Oh, okay.
And I heard this morning, I was listening to your your 2018 set on the way here. This is what I heard. Hold on. Do you mind if I play this? Is this going to be legal if I play a little clip?
Wait, before you do that, can we just show him the poster in back of him so he gets some idea here? Just take a look.
Oh, wow. You were mine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, so listen to this, though.
I'm a cougar. He's a mime.
Well, I want to remind you of a certain joke you have.
I've been on America's Got Talent. I lost to a mime, so I'm not getting cocky up here, believe me. And he was a good mime,
but he was
still a fucking mime. Still hurts. Very talented mime named Tapeface.
He was very good.
He's incredible.
But there's some condescension towards the mimes.
Well, here's what it was, you know.
Go ahead, feel free.
Here's what bothered me. Here's what I don't like about America's Got Talent is you're putting like different things against each other in a way where it's like we're both technically comedians, right? A mime and a comic, but you know, there were other comics. Like, put me against the other comics.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
put me against the mime.
I'm just playing. I
no, I'm being
miming
serious.
Is the least. It is no, the lowest.
Tapeface is unbelievable. He is an unbelievable.
Oh, so you
mime.
Knew who yeah. this was?
Oh, he's legendary.
Also a really nice guy too. No, he's
oh, really?
Like a legit act for
yeah.
sure. I mean, but it's still funny to make fun. My mom called me and she said you had our vote, and I was like, yeah, I hope. Are you kidding? I didn't even know that was in question. You
love
lost by
mom.
One vote, Sam. It was your mother.
I love it.
Your mom did it or did not vote for you?
No, I didn't even make it to the place where people could vote. She was just saying, like, as a mother. No, I think that was like the live ones where people vote. No, I got eliminated by, I guess, Howie. You know what I hate about America's Got Talent? Howie was very nice, but I hate about America's Got Talent is they'd be like, Simon's in a bad mood. I'd be like, cool.
They
so are we.
That shit
you
too.
Know, it's like,
yeah.
what
you
got to
cheer him up or something.
It's like a mind game.
Yeah. Well, it was mind games. And oh man, I piss him off so much. I remember I was dating a girl at the time.
You're like a serial monogamous dater.
When I'm in, I'm in. And and so they were like, well, maybe you could FaceTime her. And I hated, they were trying to make me say stuff to her I didn't want to say. So I just started fucking with production. They were like, say that you like can't wait to win in Vegas. And I said, I fucking hate Vegas. I don't want to go to Vegas. And so I would just give them nothing. And then finally they're like, say something romantic to your girlfriend. I'd say, honey, I can't wait for you to sit on my face. And they were like, we can't use that. And then so I got a message from a guy who does like the editing at that show. And he goes, dude, I'm watching like so much footage of you fucking with production and it'll never be seen anywhere, but it's making me laugh so hard.
Oh, that's so good. So, that's so sweet.
Their whole goal is just to stir up trouble. That's what it is. It's otherwise it's boring.
They would try to get me to shit on other acts. They would say, they were like, what do you think of this? And I'd be like, you know, it's good. It's, you know, I don't want to be on camera trashing people.
Yeah.
I don't, it was kind of like a whole thing.
I had to say, we came from Denver.
Yeah,
I grew up in Denver.
He had to make up a backstory that was
really?
Not true.
Because the rest of the crew was from Denver. And they were like, you guys are all going to be from
that.
Denver.
I should have just lied and been like, I was raised by a trans Haitian woman. And they're just like, what? It doesn't make sense. Like, that's what happened.
A trans Haitian woman. It's possible.
I just need an interesting story.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the money? I'm going to transition too. That's your story. That's where you go.
Then you have a whole spin-off show.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Are we ready to play the game?
I think we're ready.
Okay, so this game is called Mom, Don't Ask That.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a series of we got the hat out. These are questions my mother should not be asking.
Okay.
But that I have to ask anyway.
So you choose. She'll read
one.
It. Yep.
This is funny. Do you have any drug or alcohol-related injuries?
Injuries? Yeah. You know, I got assaulted in Vermont last year, and it was another guy's drinking problem. He was drunk and he smashed a pint glass over my head in a bar. So
oh,
that
holy
was
fuck.
That you saw the special.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wait.
So
what happened?
I didn't do anything. He was hammered in a bar. I was just having a beer with the three comics and we were hanging out. And he came up to me and he just said, he goes, University of Vermont. And I said, no. And he goes, master's degree. And I said, you're getting colder. And then he said, I want to beat the shit out of all of you. And I kind of like turned away. I was like, I'm not going to fight. Who is this guy? I thought in my head he's bluffing. But then he grabbed me and took a pint glass and smashed it over my head.
Jeez.
And, fucking nuts.
And I was in just kind of shock because you kind of don't know what to do. Because in my head, I'm like, well, this is a state where you can carry guns. I don't know if he's got a gun on him too. I don't know. You just think of, I always think of worst case scenarios.
Oh, yeah, you should.
So I was like, I also had in my pocket a tripod that was metal. So I was like, do I hit him with it? Do I beat this guy with it? But I was like, I was angry, but I was also like, just like, calm down. someone's going to call the cops, you know, so.
So what happened?
Called the cops and he got arrested and he, you know, he's facing a felony. He was a therapist. Probably not a good one.
Probably out of here.
Needs a little therapy.
My wife's cheating on me. What should I do? Smash a pint glass over her head.
Crazy.
His wife divorced him and he was trying, he went for the cop's gun. He was trying to commit suicide.
No way.
There's a whole backstory to this.
Yeah. And then he,
oh my God.
So yeah, that was a whole thing. He really, and another time, this is a much more minor story compared to that one. He lost, obviously, can't practice as a therapist for, I guess, only like 5 years or some weird punishment where I was like, all right, whatever. I mean, like, I'm not going out there to testify. So the only other time I could think of is one time I was just drinking a beer and I pulled a bottle too quickly and chipped a tooth.
Whoa, hurts. Oh,
I was hosting a show and I all I remember is Vanessa Bayer from SNL was on it. And I just turned to her and I said, I chipped my tooth in a beer. And she goes, oh, no. And that was all I remember from her.
She didn't give a shit.
No, she did. It was sincere. Oh. She felt bad.
Were you
she
bleeding
was like,
and shit?
No, it was just like a little. I mean, I saw a dentist and he pushed it down kind of so it just looks even now.
It is pretty crazy. Just to go back to the therapy thing. You don't know this person. And it's designed so that you don't find out about their history. They won't even say hello to you when you walk in there sometimes.
Therapist?
Yeah.
Cam once told his therapist not to take shits during the therapy sessions.
He doesn't?
Right?
Did he do it like Lyndon B. Johnson with the door open? Just chatting with you? How does that make you feel?
It took 3 or 4 minutes and I was like, out of 45, this is like 10% of the whole fucking thing.
Insane. But I can't believe you had the nerve to say to him, can you not use the bathroom during my session?
Every fucking time? Come on. I got a lot of problems over here that I want to talk about.
When he walked in, I would say
you got to do it in therapy speak. I feel the way that you're doing this is cutting off time from, you just say, give me an extra 5 minutes.
Is it?
All right, so have you gone into therapy yourself? Yeah.
And are you concerned? Like, how do I trust this person?
I don't know. I mean,
that's a rarity. Yeah, you're going to have some guy that's going to go nuts on.
No. I moved into an apartment. The person next to me was a raging alcoholic. Was up all night talking to himself.
Yeah.
He apparently was popping out at the person that lived there before me. I had to move out the next day. And he's a therapist.
Yeah, I think therapists are sometimes colorful people because you have to also think that sometimes they're some of the most open-minded people because they hear everything. And you know,
nothing phases them.
Phases them. So for them to hear everything and part of their job is to not be judgmental, I guess, right? Unless you're going to hurt yourself or someone else. I'm not worried. No, I've seen therapists that weren't the right fit for me, like the guy in Vermont. And
never saw that guy.
No, I never saw.
He's off your list, I'm sure.
He's off my list.
So back to your mom, though. You brought her up earlier. So when you decided to go into comedy as opposed to being, because she's Jewish, right?
Yeah.
And usually Jewish moms want their kid to be like a doctor or an accountant or something in the, professional.
Well, my brother and sister, the I'm her only biological kid. Mm-hmm. My brother and sister are, step siblings. So I think she felt a lot of pressure, like, don't fuck this up for me. They're both lawyers,
Oh, really?
Yeah, but my mom is also, she's very supportive and very supportive of, me being creative. I think they were more worried that I pursued stand-up as an excuse to get drunk all the time, which as an 18, 19-year-old, that probably was the case. But I also loved I always loved it. I always loved.
In high school, too. And
I loved jokes, and I loved the idea of writing original stuff and getting laughs from it and being an entertainer. I liked the idea of, people from all walks of life are laughing at what you're saying. I mean, my friend is living in Bangkok and he's lived overseas as a teacher since college. And he just sent me a text. I screened your special for literally someone from every different person was from a different country and they were all laughing.
Wow.
Like a Somali person, a British person, he just went one by one. And I was like, man, that's kind of cool that people from all walks of life can have a shared experience, So
totally.
That's not true with all comics either.
Yeah. Your stand-up special is one of the best I've seen Thank you. In yeah, a long
it really,
time.
It's a pro. It's a pro Thank special.
You. Yeah, it's really good. Thanks. So I recommend to all of our listeners to go check out the special.
It's called, what's it called?
It's called I Got This. You could just get it on standup.com/Sam Morril. It's M-O-R-R-I-L. And or you could just YouTube it. It's on YouTube. It's called I Got This.
And so you good. Did something unique because you didn't have like a major studio producing it.
No, I shot it myself. I got zero offers on. I sold my last two, and then this one I kind of got zero offers. So I was just like, you know what? It hurts your ego, but onward. I've always said that like a little rejection never really has made you a worse comic. It'll hurt your feelings and it'll hurt your career for a moment. But I think a little rejection can be good fuel for stand up.
What doesn't kill you make you stronger.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Gotta give credit.
You got it.
what's the goal when you self produce it?
I didn't know what my goal was, to be honest. I just knew that I had to get rid of the material. Mm-hmm. It's that time. A lot of Me Too jokes, a lot of timely jokes to me. So I felt it was time. And I said, you know, worst case, I'll put it on my YouTube. And I've got enough comic friends that they'll probably promote it. And then I don't know. We don't know. Hopefully, at least in that case, I own it. And, you know, maybe in a few years, someone will want to buy it. But for now, you know, we approached Comedy Central, kind of said, you know, we heard he shot it and we heard it was great. We'd love to see it. And I think they just said, well, they already had four. It's not like they've always supported me. The problem with Comedy Central was no one watches TV. So I did my last two on TV and just no one watches it. And then I fought last time very hard. You know, I was lucky enough to have Amy Schumer produce my last special. And she got me more money than I was deserved to get for it. And I had a huge fight in the point was that it's very important to me that this lives online somewhere. A lot of your specials are buried and it's very important that people have access to this. So they said it'll be on their website and they didn't mention that there would be a commercial every 3 minutes. And I said, you know, no, this is with a cable login. So this is if you pay for cable.
Oh,
you have to, so I said, guys, this is killing. This is a broken model that Viacom is using right now. It's very painful to watch this work that you worked hard on just disappear.
The fucking punchlines are getting
exactly and you feel that you feel that you're like taking a bribe. You're like, oh, I either get paid or no one sees. The bribe is almost money so no one ever sees it, and it's a painful thing because I'm on the road every week and I want people to come out. So it's so this to me was like, you know what, I worked real hard on this. I need people to see this one. I was proud of my last one too, and I was proud of the one before that. So
I think you should be proud of this one in particular. This is the one I saw recently, and I think that all our listeners,
it's the best
check it out.
Of
what's
yours
it called again?
As well.
Wait,
thank you.
What's the name of it again? So
It's called I Got This. Yeah, I think if you put in the work, I think each special should be better than the last is what I think.
So you still consider yourself a road comic?
I think so. I think that's how I describe myself as just a comic. I'm a New York comic, but I like the road. I romanticize it still. I mean,
but you're in The Joker, right? I did a little research, found that on IMDb.
Yeah, I have a brief moment in The Joker, Joaquin Phoenix. I got some messages where they say, you know, what made The Joker the Joker is having a bomb following Sam Morril in a comedy club. So
that's
what made him melt down. I was like, all right. So Todd Phillips, who's just like such a great guy, he really is like an amazing, it's like not only is a guy so talented, but he's so nice. So he just called me up and was like, I really like your comedy. And he's like, you're not one of those like kind of like cutesy comics. You feel very sincere to me. And he was just very nice on the phone.
That's
I said,
awesome.
Man, I remember showing up to a bar mitzvah late to see Road Trip in theaters. So I'm a fan of your work.
Oh, my God. This is what you say to him?
That's
awesome. Absolutely. Yeah. And
that's
I mean,
a
of
big
course,
compliment.
Of course, Todd Phillips. Like, yeah, I love Todd Phillips. So it was pretty cool. And
what about Joaquin?
I chat with him a little bit on set. I wasn't planning on it, but you know what
like,
happened
what was that conversation like?
Well, you know, so we're shooting in this dingy comedy club called Dangerfields in New York City, and you know, Ronnie Dangerfield, like, to me the funniest human being.
One of them, yeah, for
I
sure.
Mean,
and Robin Williams and him maybe.
Oh yeah. So I mean Ronnie Dangerfield, I mean, I grew up on those specials, but the club is kind of dingy. It's a little run down, you know, and but it's kind of perfect for the Joker movie.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So my role is like, I talked to him. He said, you're playing open mic comic. And I said, well, do you want me to bomb? Because mics can be rough. And he said, just do whatever you feel you want to do. And I said, well, I'm not going to bomb with my jokes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going up. I'm doing my act, you know? I'm not going up there with my act trying to bomb. And he said, cool. There were just extras in there. They don't know what to expect. I go up. So every take, I do different material. And I was killing, like every take I was killing. So you know, every once in a while, Todd just, he's such a, I guess there's directors that can be a little icy, and there's directors who can be, it's almost like being a coach, you know, and who can be encouraging. He'd come in and be like, the crew is laughing in between takes, which felt so good. So he'd say things like, you know, you're doing, like, I love what you're doing. And he even like said afterwards, you know, it's been a pretty bleak shoot. It's a dark movie. So this was such a fun day to break it up. He was so nice. And in between, he's encouraging. He's pushing me to, you know, take risks. There was one joke I told that kind of bombed. He's like, that one was a little dirty. I was like, all right.
It just had to be. Okay, so go back to Joaquin.
Okay, so then comes on after me. Of course, I've been a fan of his since I saw him in To Die For. Remember that one with Nicole Kidman? Amazing movie.
I might have, but I can't remember.
Amazing dark comedy. So he goes up and bombs and he commits. It's so uncomfortable and such a good scene in the movie, I think. And, you know, he at one take, he just stops and he starts chatting with me. I don't know, certain actors you read about, they have a process, they don't want to, you know, so I just, I'm like, I'm kind of just chilling.
Especially, right? He's method actor, he's like right. In the fucking.
But he just starts chatting me and he just said, man, I really like your jokes. He said, I really like them. He said, you know, they're just funny. A lot of comics come off as like desperate sometimes and just are in need and seeking something, but like, you're just like a comic, you're just funny, you know. I was like,
no,
oh,
I think
wow.
You're a pro.
Oh, thank you. Well, it meant a lot. And he was also like, you know, he and Todd Phillips are just saying this in front of everybody.
That's so cool.
And then my friend Chris Redd, he's on SNL, he's the host in that scene.
Oh wow.
So Chris is cracking me up so much because in between every take he's like, fuck you. He's just like, fuck you, because I get to show off and do bits, and Chris's line is just, one more time for Sam Morril. And then he introduces Arthur. The delivery with which he introduces him made me laugh, where he's like, he reads his weird intro and goes, okay. And then he brings him up. But Chris was just trashing me. He goes, oh, I'd love to show off my material, but I have written lines. You get to riff. But in my mind, I thought, well, he's going to be kept in the movie and they're going to cut my scene. Why would they keep my scene? You know? And so I told no one I was in it.
That's awesome.
Well,
and
I'm
in it very briefly.
It's
very
really cool.
It's very brief.
It is really cool. Mother, I've discovered something about myself recently.
What?
You know, I think with the beginning of this podcast 4.5 years ago, I was having trouble not coming immediately. Now?
What does that mean, not coming immediately? I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Premature ejaculation.
You're having premature ejaculation issues. Now you discovered a new issue?
I think I'm older. My dick now, it takes longer to get up.
Oh, no.
It's coming to that age.
Be careful for what you wish for.
And that's why we are proud to be sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah, Blue Chew actually has the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis.
BlueChew.com is a website you can go to meet with a physician for free online. And once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging.
So that means you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy.
And they'll give you these chewables. You can eat it because it's chewable. It might work faster. Basically, it's a no-brainer. If you want to get an erection, you're having some difficulties. That's it. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code MOM, M-O-M. You just pay $5 shipping. All you got to do is go to BlueChew.com, use promo code MOM. It's unbelievable. You get free boners. This is a no-brainer. BlueChew.com, use promo code MOM.
Should we get back to the game?
Yes, let's do it. You want another question?
Sure.
You know, like some people like dig in there and swoosh it around. And
well, he's swooshing.
You just
swooshing,
pull the top
he?
One. No, there's no swooshing.
You might actually.
All right, I like this one though, because I could tell it's my handwriting. What's the kinkiest thing you've done, and would you do it again?
Jeez, I don't know. I'm pretty boring in the bedroom. I don't think I'm like a super kinky guy.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
No. You're a comic.
I know, but I'm.
There's something.
You had a joke about handcuffs.
Did I?
Oh, look at you, Cam.
I don't think I've done handcuffs, though. I think it was a joke. You know what? Okay, you know what?
I knew there would be something.
This is going to sound vanilla to you guys, probably, but like, probably a finger in the butt is kinky.
Everyone's doing
your
that
butt
these
or
days.
Her butt?
in mine. I don't think women appreciate it in theirs. They're just like, okay.
No. Okay. Oh, yeah, we need to talk to your girlfriend.
But it is supposed to be, for men, that's the prostate. It's supposed to be a big fucking thing.
You are such a big talker.
What do you mean?
You with the finger in the butt.
I haven't gotten in a situation where that was going to... has happened, but I'm very open-minded.
Well, a lot of guys are homophobic, so they think that like, I mean, dude, think about, I remember watching a Sopranos episode where Uncle Junior won't admit to anyone that he eats pussy. Like, that was a huge, he was like, they think that, he's like, oh, you do that, you'll suck a dick. That was their whole thing on the Sopranos. But
was
it's
that
like,
the Sopranos?
Oh, yeah, it's like, a great episode.
I gotta go watch that
It's
again.
A really great, I mean, season one, I think. It's a really great one, but.
You have like a photographic memory.
I don't know. I love the Sopranos. To me, is like the best written show ever. So I really just I can. It, to me, it's like dark and funny and sad and just brilliant. So I love it. But yeah, I think you know the finger in the butt is like
finger in the butt. It's,
I don't think
it is
nothing crazy. It's just you know. I'm not a super.
Did you like it?
Of course, yeah.
It's an erogenous zone.
Well, it's the male G spot. They say right.
That's
it's the just a hint. Just a, like a Tostitos hint of lime, like that much.
You didn't go full throttle.
I don't go. That would like I know. I had a friend who told me he got pegged, and I was like, "That sounds brutal to me." That's
It's a mental state.
It's so funny that now, if 10 years ago this was not very commonplace for hetero guys to do this, but now it's sure. Like if you're not doing this, you're vanilla and
there's
you're lame.
There's some cities I say it in where they pull back. I've made comments about it on stage, and they will pull. The
Well, what have you said?
I said that's where the male G spot is, and people are like, no, and I say, no, I've been and I've come back with good news. It's right there.
Really?
Yeah, but
you do this on Conan?
You know what I said once? I said the butthole is like a Broadway show where gay guys talk about it the most, but if you're a straight guy and you never go, you're missing out. That's what I said.
I like the little Broadway reference.
I don't understand. You know, gay guys are not anatomically different than us. Why would for some of them it feel very pleasurable?
I think New York, being a New York Jew, just being a like culturally New York Jew. Also, I grew up in Manhattan. I mean, I think that like just like being exposed to Broadway. My mom, like when you're a kid, you don't appreciate that. So like, I think there's certain things that would be considered gay by like maybe, you know, I've done the road pretty hard, but maybe by Midwest standards, you're like, that's kind of gay. And I'm like, actually, to me, it's like pretty cool. And it's, I mean, I also don't like the word gay used negatively like that. But I think like, I mean, it's just, it's culturally different, I think is what they mean. I think gay is like, that's different than what I grew up with. And you're like, well, it's not gay. It's just different, right?
Like, why is that like such a joke in you, especially, I know because my boyfriend's from New York. It's like, that's a joke. You're so gay.
Well, I think it's like an out there. I think
you
that
buy
was like a joke.
Coldplay t-shirt, you're gay. I mean, why? What does that mean?
I think it's just like, you know, I once heard Chappelle say that like people use the word crazy for things they just don't understand. I think they do the same thing with the word gay, where they're like, oh, that's foreign to me, so that's gay.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not necessarily negative, it's just different.
Yeah.
You are a very sweet guy for a comic.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked to very sweet comics, but it's very clear that you're like, you don't want to make fun of anyone or offend people.
I think when you do the type of comedy I do, you have to do it with care or else it comes off as malicious.
Oh yeah, you can go there.
You're at risk of being canceled at all times.
I think we all do. You know, yeah. I think everyone does. I think if you have a Twitter account, you'd be shocked. I mean, people get offended from Brian Regan.
I'm
people
getting
get
demonetized like crazy on YouTube. Seriously.
So how do you prevent? Are you worried about that type of reaction?
I don't really as much as I used to because I just tell people, look, my intentions are pure and I don't come to offend anybody. So if you get offended, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of your thing.
Yeah,
I think
it's definitely a two-way street. You know, the person receiving it has some level of like, you know,
but we always like kind of walk in the line though, where we're like, and we were on Megyn Kelly Today Show.
Oh, okay, cool.
And what did they say about it? It was cool. But what did they say that they researched more or about our show than they?
Oh yeah. She said they did more research for that interview than anything she's ever done on Fox. They were so worried that we were going to talk about anal or anything.
We were told what you can say butt play, but you can't say anal.
Yeah.
It was and it was like, well, and of course we didn't give a shit.
Speaking of America's Got Talent, you know, they once said to me, they said, you have a joke where you say penis. You can only say penis once. The second time you have to point to your penis.
No.
Isn't that more offensive? A guy pointing to his penis?
Penis. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, God, your dumb rules. You realize that, like, this is not how people speak. This is not like.
What would happen if you said penis twice? Does it, you get bleeped out?
I turn into a leprechaun. I don't know. I don't know what happens.
I basically said, because they were asking me questions, I was like, they were like, what are you doing? I was like, I have a podcast with my mom. I could have said, I have a podcast called Sex Talk with My Mom. And I think if you mentioned sex in there, it would have been cut immediately.
So he had to say podcast with my mom.
It's so weird what standards and practices finds offensive. I've had them okay things where I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And then the other thing they don't like.
Give me an example of that.
Jeez, let me think. I mean, there's so many. It's usually something like ad related. You know, they're like, you can't say Delta or something, or you can't say.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, it's so strange. And then I'm like, well, I say AIDS in this joke. They're like, that's okay. I'm like, all right.
AIDS, okay. Delta, no way. That's hilarious. Delta, you're a big fan of?
I fly mostly Delta if I can because
it's an interesting airline.
It's just good to stick with one airline if
it
you're
is,
traveling.
But
every
I mean,
week.
That's a weird one.
It's a weird one.
I mean, unless you're like, their hub is like, isn't it?
Their
Atlanta?
Hub is good. Yeah. I like it.
Chicago, the hub is United and
United
American.
Is horrible.
Oh, horrible.
Don't even go there.
United,
what about Spirit? Your favorite.
Spirit's horrible. I mean,
you're a tall guy, though. There's like an inch between like the seat in front of you and your knees.
I'm 6'3". I have back problems. I got acupuncture yesterday. I got the cupping things in my back. I had like an hour and a half.
I saw
in between
something
podcasts.
On your neck. Yeah. I'm like, what is that? I thought it was like a birthmark. I didn't
That's
want
what
to
she,
say anything.
When I said finger in the butt was my kinkiest thing, she looks at my neck. She's like, no, it isn't.
That's
I don't
exactly
like,
what
I
was thinking.
This.
I was thinking, I don't know what's going on.
No,
it's a very, you know, you said you weren't with your girlfriend, but then it looks very similar to a hickey.
No, she got cupping. She got cupping 2 days ago too because she's so cool. She drove me to do a podcast in Santa Monica. She lives in Burbank. She's fucking,
oh damn!
For during, those of you
at
who
rush
are
hour,
listening,
at
oh,
rush geez, hour,
that's a good 2 hours.
So
it must
she
have been a good podcast.
It was. It was the Fighter and the Kid podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It was so fun. Brian Callen's hilarious. And then so then
you want to tell us who your girlfriend is?
Do you know Taylor Tomlinson, the comic?
Ah, Taylor Tomlinson. No, I actually, but I have heard of the name, but I haven't.
She's very funny.
I don't know her work, but I would love to meet her.
Anyway,
you can
invite
her on next time. We'll have dinner.
She definitely, so she drives me there. So I said, you know, she's got like work. My back's horrible. And she's like never gotten she's got like one massage. She doesn't like to be touched. So it's like,
seriously?
By strangers. Yeah, by strangers. Which I
know of people like that. I don't get it.
But I totally get it.
I love to be touched by strangers. The more strangers, the better.
The Patreon numbers are going up.
I'll do anything
but,
for that.
But, you know. So I get that totally. I also like I there's a part of me that's like, yeah, it's a little weird. So but then I just need to feel better. My back and legs are always killing me from just like I fall asleep on a flight. I'm just like, oh, I'm done.
Oh yeah.
So,
oh,
totally.
The worst.
So I need to. So I really pushed her and she's been texting me like, thank God. Thank you so much for pushing me to do that. And she has the
cupping.
She's
going to be
an
addict now.
I think she should. I think for a while she's got to go regularly. I think we forget how important body maintenance is.
No, we
right?
don't. My body's constantly killing me. Wait till you're my age. You're going to be like, oh my God, what
right.
the fuck
well,
is
I'm,
going
I'm
on
complaining.
Here?
I hate when people older or younger than me complain. It's annoying, right?
Oh, he's such a sweetheart. All right, let's play one more before.
But that's how I communicate. That is like, I think, a culturally Jewish thing to just like communicate through pessimism, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I start a lot of sentences like, can you believe this shit?
And
it's not because I'm angry. It's because I'm like, that's how I communicate.
We have a new little thing on our, we have another show on Mondays. It's just a recap of like the weekend and stuff like that. And our new episode is.
I wish I didn't.
Yeah,
that's
I wish
segment.
I didn't.
So it's like, I wish I didn't see that. I wish I didn't smell that.
Yeah, I wish I didn't feel that. And this is my Monday is going to be the guy that's like talking to me really close and spitting as he's speaking. You don't know what to do. Someone's
brutal.
Spitting at
you. Gotta
you
got to say something.
You can't.
What do you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're spitting on me.
You would say that?
Larry David?
I have to do that.
No, I have to.
It's so disgusting, though.
I just say it in a polite way. I just say it like in something like they should be aware of. I'll give you an example. I'm on a flight. Like on Sunday, I'm coming from Vancouver, morning flight. It's like a 7 a.m. flight. So I woke up pretty early. I got global entry. But I still have to wake up at like 5:30 or something. So I did a show the night before. I'm exhausted. Yeah. So I get on the flight. What is common courtesy on a flight at that time? To maybe not yell, to maybe keep it, because some people might be tired, right? So
yeah.
I think just being courteous to your neighbor on flights.
And
like
coughing.
Oh my God. Don't get me started, right?
Would you rather have coughing or baby crying?
I hate them both. I'm nervous. I'm on
No. You have to pick one or the other. What would be...
How close is the baby and how close is the coughing?
Both are next to you in a seat next to you.
I got to go baby just because I don't want to get sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Take the baby
That's
crying,
it.
100%. though?
100%.
I would. I'd put a pillow over the baby's face.
Suffocate the shit.
So I...
I don't understand why people do not...
I'd shush him too.
This is my whole thing. When Cam and his siblings were young and I take them on the airplane, I drug them first. Talk about getting in trouble. I'm going to get DCFS calling me right now and taking my kids away from me. I would literally give them some sort of antihistamine. They're happy. The people around them are happy.
Yes.
I'm happy. They sleep the whole flight. Why don't people drug their kids?
I think this is why I can't fly anymore.
No, that's not my...
I can't
you're
fly.
You're not blaming...
This is why, right here.
This is it.
I have terrible sinus issues that I don't take...
I have sinus issues, too.
When you fly?
Oh, my God. I remember I was in Utah, and I was just complaining about... I was in Salt Lake, and it was a great club called Wise Guys, and I was just complaining. I was like, man, my head, the altitude, and the people in the crowd were laughing so hard, and I was like, oh, they've never seen a Jew. This is what they imagine a Jew was.
That was funny.
Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like I was just turning into Woody Allen on stage.
What do you do for flying?
What do I do? Well, this is what happened. On the flight, there was a baby, maybe three or four, just kicking my seat for an hour.
Jesus. Baby kicking a seat.
And I'm just
another horrible
and screaming.
Thing.
And the mom next to me, I turn around, she's doing nothing.
No, they don't give a rat's ass.
You got to at least for your neighbors try. I know that kids are hard sometimes, but this is yours. If this was a phone, if this is a phone, we'd be
you'd
could you stop?
Turn it off.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a hate crime.
It's a hate crime.
It is a hate crime.
It is, but at 5:30 in the morning.
It's an hour straight. And finally, I'm trying so hard to ignore it and just maybe I could just sleep and be very zen and maybe I can really fight this. At a certain point, I just turn around and go, really? Really? And she just goes, sorry. And she tries to get the kid. But I'm like, why does it take me snapping to why does it take that? Just be a decent. Isn't that
imagine yourself in this scenario.
Be a good neighbor. In the flight, we're neighbors right now.
That's
it. Be a good neighbor.
That's it.
I like when they ask me, well, what do you want me to do? I'm like, give them shitty medicine. I don't know.
Yes, that's it. That is the answer.
Anything. Just give them anything.
I want to detour back to sex, if you will.
I like the detour back.
So here's a question for you that has come up for me recently, and I figure this question might resonate.
All right.
You're on the road.
Yeah.
You got women who are watched your set. They want to have sex with you.
This is when you're not in
sometimes,
a relationship.
Sometimes.
No, this is when
happened.
You're not in a relationship.
Okay, fine.
When you're not in a relationship. How do you decide who you're going to have sex with?
I like that you think it's some... Like I have this type of option.
You
have the option of not having sex with them.
If
someone is coming out to you, you could say,
I think it kind of slowed down in the last few years, I would say, because I just think I get tired, man. I just get really tired. I'm traveling a lot. A lot of the gigs I get in Thursday morning. I do a show Thursday night. They want you to do morning press Friday morning. Sometimes 6 or 7 a.m. Then I do two shows that night, and then it's like, dude, I'm fucking tired.
You did the joke about the old dick.
The old dick, yeah. The old dick versus the young dick, where the old dick is a CEO, and the young penis is an intern, where the young penis is up early, up at the crack of dawn, and we'll do anything. And the old dick is all right, this better be important. Let's make this quick. Yeah.
If we're gonna have a lot of energy.
You think you got an old dick now?
I just think
oh my God.
I think with all the travel and everything, it would, for me, would either have to be a layup. It also just like, it feels...
layup! Well, the work that has to go into prepping.
This is me being single at the point. But I also like, if alcohol's in the mix, then yeah, obviously, sure, it's easier. But if you're sober, it's weird. It's weird to have sex with a stranger sober.
Yes.
I don't know.
We just talked about this. I 100% agree.
Because I'm like, I'm working hard to make you feel good, but I don't even know you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And it's hard to communicate.
This is it. And I don't like drinking because it fucks with my sleep cycle.
Right.
So then it's a whole cyclical event. So I don't drink and then, you know.
And
what
would you think about if she brought out like sex toys?
What?
I mean,
like when you don't even know the person, like you met her that night and she has an arsenal of sex toys in her purse.
I think that happened once. I think
really?
That happened somewhere. Yeah. I forget where I was. But it happened once. I mean, I was like, no, we could just do this. I mean, I wasn't really, it's not really my thing, but I don't judge you if it is. I just was like, no, let's just do the sex.
I think this is what's going to happen if I bring someone back to my place.
Why don't you tell them what you did last night?
What did I do last night?
I have a blind date. Yes.
Oh, I thought we were going to say this in Monday's episode. I could
just tell him.
All right. So being in this little sex world, I got in this because of comedy, and now I've gotten way deeper into the sex world than I wanted to. But, you know, we get invited to some things like this Hump Festival, which is Dan Savage's porn film festival.
Oh, my God.
And I had this first date with I had a first date planned with this girl this night, and I was like, we're going to get a drink, but this porn festival sounds a little more interesting than the drink.
This is the first date?
Yeah, so I asked her if she wants to go on the porn film festival.
Now, what do you think this girl's going to say?
I mean, if she's a good girl, she's going to say no.
She said no.
Yeah. She's a keeper.
Yeah. She's a keeper?
She said, and then I
mean, maybe if that's like someone you're with a lot. I can't even imagine.
I didn't even want to go
to begin
with. You
have lost touch with reality.
I really have.
It's a good wake-up call.
Yeah. Well, I arrived and I was like, I don't even know why you even showed up here, because that was a crazy request.
Like if the situation was reversed, Cam, and this girl says, I got an idea for the first date. Let's go to some erotic porn that's really kinky porn.
Oh, yeah.
Movie
festival. Not even normal. It's like...
it's like weird shit.
It's avant-garde porn, basically.
Weird. Yeah. I don't... the alt porn world. You don't even think of it. Yeah.
I was just looking for something interesting to do. I get so bored with just one drink.
Well, you're a comic, so you wanted a story is what it was, right?
Maybe. How much do you do for the bit?
I've done it. I mean, I've had weird things. And that's one thing with my mom. I'll see her in the crowd sometimes. She'll come to a gig and I see her head go down. I'm like, she doesn't like this one.
I would be cheering you on going, yes. Yeah. That's how we started is because Cam was like, you know, very kind of... you know, what would you call yourself at the beginning?
I don't know. What are you going to call me right now?
Like, timid? No, not timid.
I was the more straight-laced of the two of
us.
Yes.
Yeah. The more conservative one.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at me. Look at me now. No. Friday nights, I could be going to porn film festivals.
I can't believe you did that.
I didn't.
I can't believe you asked this girl this. This is a first
she
date.
She goes, well, maybe if it were a second date or something like that.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Maybe for second
date. All right, so that sounds cool.
Well, it wasn't a hard no, I guess.
It wasn't a hard no.
Yeah,
she's
a
cool girl.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think early on, you got to, if it's someone you like, you got to kind of go a little
ease
slowly.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I got kind of lucky in this relationship in a way, because like my last girlfriend was actually also on the West Coast, and I think it's because sometimes you're forced to open up to the person through FaceTime in a way that you wouldn't in person.
That's true.
Because you're forced
to
not be physical. So,
right.
So I'm not saying being physical early is bad, but I'm saying in my case, we were forced to really get to know each other. I mean, my girlfriend now, we started kind of just as like, you know, colleagues. So I'm saying fuck anyone you work with. No, I'm saying is, we had to get to know each other and then, we had a mutual respect for each other's work, and I think that helped. And then we just started talking. And then one night after a gig, I said, call me. And she called me, and we talked on the phone for 7 hours.
Holy shit.
7 hours.
This could be a keeper.
Yeah, and then I said, hours. Well, I know where you are. It's not that late, but it's 9 a.m. here in New York.
No way.
It's been an all-nighter for me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You really like this girl.
Oh, yeah. And then...
usually, I mean, from other comedians that we've interviewed, they don't mix the, you know, work and...
But they also say it's very hard to have a relationship in general.
There's a comic, I know Dom Dustin, who has a great joke about this, where he says, you know, he used to work at a restaurant and they said, don't, you don't shit where you eat here. And I go, first off, I would never eat here. It's more like don't fuck.
Have you seen the bathroom?
Well, he said, it's more like you don't fuck where you steal. Okay.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. I think that's
hilarious.
So funny.
That is hilarious.
But yeah, it's probably a bad idea. But then also, like, it's tough for me. You meet smart and stimulating and funny women in this field, unfortunately. And that's what she is. So, I mean, that's kind of what will happen sometimes, you know?
And also, she'll be totally cool about your schedule. And,
oh, yeah.
You don't have to explain anything. Yeah. Like, I've had women where they're like, they get a little annoyed. And I think when you feel even a sense of that, like, you're working again, you're like, oh, you're trying to change me. I'm going to work even harder now. But with her, she's so supportive that I kind of want to take time off. Like, we were supposed to take a vacation in December, and you know, we both had specials coming out, so I said to her, you know, I want to take a vacation, but I'm very stressed about the lack of material I have going into, like, this special for me came out in 2 months, so that's a quick turnaround to have a new set to tour with. And
whoa.
I said, I'm pretty scared, I really want to go hard in the clubs. And she said, I totally understand. And she shouldn't have. Because I think in January, she's like, we should have.
we needed that.
And I felt it. I was like, we needed that, both of us. So I said, July, we're going like some resort type thing. Spa type thing.
Oh,
just chill.
Shit.
We should do. I want to do like a healthy vacation where we do like yoga and get massages and acupuncture.
Make sure they have alcohol, though.
Yeah,
don't,
she
don't
doesn't
make
drink.
That mistake.
I'll have
oh,
a
really?
Couple, but she doesn't drink. Yeah, so I've also slowed down my drinking significantly.
I know, but it's nice to have some alcohol.
I want like a Manhattan.
It's a vacation.
I like a good like bourbon cocktail.
What's with the resurgence of Manhattans all of a sudden?
You know what I think brought it back? Was I think Mad Men brought back the old
you're
fashioned.
Right, you're
oh,
right.
Yeah.
And then I'm a Manhattan. I like Manhattan slightly better because I like the vermouth better than just the pure sugar. But I think most people would do old fashions.
Yeah, I would. And I was last night, and I couldn't sleep the whole night.
It's a bad. If you have like one or two, you're all right. But if you get drunk on those, you're not. The brown alcohol is a bad sleep night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drank one martini yesterday.
What kind?
Vodka.
Just
vodka straight up.
With the olives?
I didn't have any blue cheese olives because it was a Chinese restaurant. They don't know about the Chicago blue cheese olive thing.
You're ordering martinis at a Chinese restaurant?
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
I figured, why not, you know?
Chinese food is maybe the most comforting. It's just like, just the thought of it, it feels comforting. Yeah.
Well,
it?
My boyfriend came in. He's like, you know what? I'm in the mood for Chinese food. And it was no questioning. We're going to Chinese food.
Oh, yeah.
There was no questioning, right?
I had to drive.
What's your order at a Chinese restaurant?
Kung Pao chicken, of course.
Oh, nice. Cool.
I like
Kung Pao.
What else? There was something else that you said that made.
I like Chinese food with a group because you can dabble in a lot of things.
I think you can graze.
Chinese food for one, not good.
Not good, but I like you get the cold sesame noodles. You get some scallion pancakes, maybe an egg roll.
Oh, yeah.
I love chicken with garlic sauce.
Oh, I got a place for you. We got a good place for you. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to tell me afterwards. I'm pretty. My girlfriend right now is not a big Chinese food.
How long have you gone out with her?
It's September.
Since September, so it's been a few months already.
Yeah.
Is this the one?
I don't know. I hope so.
Oh wow.
5 months? I don't know, man.
Because I have like the whole phase thing. There's a trimester.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily.
You haven't talked about this in the show.
I haven't talked about it in a while, but basically, this is my theory. The first, it doesn't have to be 3 months, but the first section is when you're getting to know each other. It's like you're on, like everything is great. You get a honeymoon kind of feeling going on. They don't have any flaws or anything that really annoys you.
No, we both have flaws, and I think
we're
both
aware of
them.
Well, the second trimester, you figure out that the other person has a couple flaws. You know. Hopefully they're not like, I have a severe addiction or something like
baby,
that.
Baby, that was the old me. You got to say that a lot.
And then if you can get through that second trimester and get to the third one when you accept each other's flaws and warts and all, then you got to keep her.
It's good that you go in trimesters because it's almost like a baby.
Yeah, it's like having a baby. It's a relationship baby.
You got to, I think you're right. I think you find the flaws. You're like, are these flaws that are manageable for me? And do they... I forgot the name of the book, but it compares, you know, like a square peg to a round hole. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, are you compatible? Because sometimes the love is so good, but then you're just not at all compatible.
Right.
And that painful.
It's
like painful because you're like, oh my God, but I love you. Stop being an asshole. And they're like, I'm not being an asshole. This is who I am and this is who you are. We're just not compatible.
Yeah. This is very interesting.
It's very hard to fit all the pieces together.
All right. We got to wrap it up, unfortunately. Will you stick around for a little Patreon bonus
episode? Yes, of course.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on this.
My pleasure. I hope this wasn't a snooze fest of an episode.
Zero. Not at all. We love doing this.
Are you kidding me? It's one of the faves.
Yeah. Right. So we have a few questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, have you ever walked in on a parent having sex or vice versa?
Once, I think I opened the door and they like just jumped off each other.
Okay.
And so I didn't witness anything, thank God.
Were you traumatized?
No. I was too young. And then by the time I was like, oh, yeah, I was an annoying kid who would like walk in their room.
ADD.
Without knocking. So, yeah, I probably deserved it. So, no.
How old were you?
I was very young. I must have been like 7 or 8.
But you knew what was going on.
Yeah, I put it together.
And have they ever walked in on you?
My brother did. Not my mom or dad.
What did he say?
He just apologized. I walked on him once, but he's older. I walked on him first, and he was pretty annoyed. And this is actually my first time having sex when he walked in.
No way.
Yeah, so I was like, God damn it, dude.
The first time.
And then I just heard him in the bathroom right outside my room. Just pissing. It was like the loudest piss. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm like trying to segue back into sex. I'm like, well, we should get back to it. And she's just like, ugh. So
that is hilarious.
What happened?
It was like mediocre, pretty bad first time sex. And my brother the next day was like, sorry, but you know, now we're even, I guess. And I was like, yeah.
That's pretty cute. Yeah. It's heartwarming.
Yeah, he definitely was like, are you dating that girl? I was like, I don't think so. I don't know. So we just talked about it, you know.
Again, how do people find your work if they want to find you?
It's just, you know, I'm online. It's Sam Morrell. .com. I have a lot of tour dates, so you know I'll be coming up all over.
Morrill.
Yeah, I'm coming up all over, and you know I'm on all the social media things that you got to be on now, which I hate, but you got to do it.
Oh, you don't even ask. Cam just took himself off.
I'm off. She's on. I put an L on her.
Yeah, he threw all that shit on me.
It's a lot. It's a lot, and I.
But I'm glad you were on because that's how I reached you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it. I was like, oh, this looks interesting. I usually don't answer, but I was like, this looks pretty interesting.
That's what we were hoping.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking when you saw like, oh, this is sex talk with my mom?
I mean, I like that you guys clearly have a close relationship. So I think like, you know, to me, I was like, oh, I've never heard about a podcast, son and mom. And then I also, I'm really close with my mom. So I was like, I like that. That could be interesting. So,
oh, I'm glad to hear
you're
close with
Thank
your mom.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
We end with the last question. How do you feel now about talking about sex with my mom?
I felt fine coming in. I feel fine going out. I don't think it's, you know.
It wasn't too painful.
No, I don't think it's painful.
Yeah. It's been a blast.
I'm glad to hear that.
So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And again, your stand-up special is called?
It's called I Got This. You could find it. It's on YouTube completely free in its entirety. It's on my website free. Just type in standup.com/Sam Morrill. If you want to see it, it's Morrill.
Yeah, let us know how you like him.
You will not regret it. It is hilarious.
Thank you. No ads. I made sure no ads in this one.
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed that rollicking interview with Sam Morrill. We love the guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He was a little reticent to take our Uberlu, but he took it.
What do you mean he's reticent to take the Uberlu?
Yeah, he was a little hesitant, but then we informed him it's the best Uberlu on the market, and that was it.
Yep. It was a little weird, though. He had it out of his pocket, then he put it in his pocket.
I think he was uncertain if he was going to use it.
No, I think he wanted to use it, but then he didn't. He said his girlfriend doesn't like lube, so maybe this will convert her.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we have a good time with these people. Well, we're very grateful that you give us the opportunity to spend time with these people, honestly.
Yeah, and I hope you guys got an inside view of what the comics life is like.
Yeah. And I wanted to especially thank all of our patrons for supporting our show, making it possible.
We just had a fantastic Google Hangout with them. So you guys are our fam. Join on patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
We got a long Patreon bonus for this one, maybe like 20 minutes.
Really?
Between 15 and 20 minutes. And it's hilarious and it's always the best stuff. Yeah, you don't want to miss it. And I wanted to welcome several Patreon members to our family.
Yahoo!
We got Jennifer C, Isabella A, Alyssa, Cyan, and Louisa. Did I say Louisa?
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Louisa joined. Everyone's joining. Thank you guys so much for being part of this family.
It's so awesome. We can message you guys, and we can really keep a close eye on our patrons.
Yeah.
What you guys want us to talk about. You can bring up topics. It's a lot of fun.
And I also want to thank everyone who's been leaving us iTunes reviews. We did a nice podcast event for Earbuds Podcast Collective recently. We got
lots
of
reviews.
Over there, mainly because they were forcing people to do that. But I wanted to read one that came from somewhere else. It says, funny and informative podcast. I started listening to this podcast from listening to Mommy's Tell All. This has been funny, informative, and really good listening. I like that they talk about real life things, no BS, and actually give some accurate scenarios. Let's be real. We're all having sex, but few of us talk about it. So check them out.
I like that. Let's be real.
By VF Gonzalez. Thank you so much.
Thank you, VF.
Although, honestly, it came with 4 stars, not 5.
Are you kidding me? VF, what the hell happened there?
Maybe the hand slipped.
That's what it is. I almost gave myself a 1 star the other day. I don't even know how I was trying to show someone how to leave a review, and I put 1 star down there.
Or maybe it's just the person wanted to support us, but not, you know.
Not fully support us.
Didn't want to be dishonest with the support. Well, I feel that way with Yelp reviews sometimes. You know, Yelp restaurant, the person's pressuring you to leave a review?
Me, because I'm Yelp elite?
Oh, yeah, because everyone knows you're Yelp elite when you
go
anywhere.
I actually feel terrible leaving a bad review, and every time I do leave a not-so-great review on Yelp, the restaurant will contact me and ask and it's horrible. Because,
and they're trying to give you like a free samosa
No, if that would be a good thing. No, it's usually that's just like, you know, just give us another try. I'm like, no, the reason I gave you 3.5 stars is because you were shitty. I should have given you 1.
Oh, wow. You're brutal.
I'm pretty.
You speak the truth on
Yelp. Well, what's the point of lying? Because then next time people are not going to take my, you know, criticisms to heart.
Yeah.
Or my accolades to heart.
I like that approach to life, Mother. And I hope you guys appreciate her approach to life. And that's why you're tuning into this wonderful podcast. Thank you all for your support, your love, your light.
And your passion.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Love you. Thanks for listening.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.